Very good. Okay, please be seated. I'll begin by reading the pledge in English and Japanese. This is something we've been studying over the past whole Dharma school year, actually, since we started in September. And I find that for me, it's been kind of preparing my heart and my mind in a way for the challenges that we're facing now with this coronavirus outbreak. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho Breaking out of my shell, I will share a warm smile and speak gentle words, just like the kind Buddha. Not becoming lost in my greed, anger, and ignorance, I shall think and act with an open mind, just like the calm and peaceful Buddha. Not putting myself first, I will share in the joy and sadness of others, just like the compassionate Buddha. Realizing the gift of life I have received, I shall strive to live each day to its fullest, like the Buddha who tirelessly works to liberate all. 自分の殻に閉じこもることなく、穏やかな顔と優しい言葉を大切にします。微笑み語り合う仏様のように、むさぼり怒り愚かさに投げされず、 しなやかな心と振る舞いを心がけます。心安らかな仏様のように、自分だけを大事にすることなく、人と喜びや悲しみを分かち合います。慈悲に満ち満ちた仏様のように、 生かされてることに気づいて、日々に精一杯努めます。人々の救いに尽くす仏様のように。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。 It's a little bit sabishi, a little bit lonely here, but we have a few people who are able to join us this morning. But it brings me comfort to know that all of you are watching and tuning in. We're experimenting with this live streaming of DharmaCast during this current coronavirus outbreak, where we're all kind of staying home. You know, many of us are home from school, starting Friday and then continuing for the next several weeks. Other people are working from home and our community activities have slowed down and closed down, and we're really adjusting to a new kind of lifestyle. We're staying home for the safety of ourselves and for the safety of others. However, it can be stressful to be home all day. In a space that either, you know, we're not used to having so many people all together, or just not being able to go outside and go to the different places, school and work and things that we're used to. And so it's going to be an adjustment, I think, for all of us. It'll be there'll be times of challenges, times when we feel a little bit stressed out, when we, you know, it's not necessarily going to be easy. And I think for me, at times like this, I look to the teachings of the Buddha and to those who have gone forth in the Nembutsu for guidance in my life as I try to kind of steer my path forward. One of the people who I think is whose life is particularly relevant here for us in our current situation is Queen Vaidehi, who was one of the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha's devout disciples. And she was the wife of King Bimbisara, who was a king who lived at the time of the Buddha, was a great supporter of the Buddha. And Queen Vaidehi and King Bimbisara had one son whose name was Ajatasattru. Adatta Satru was the only son, and he had a friend whose name was Devadatta. Devadatta was one of the Buddha's cousins, and Devadatta was very jealous of the Buddha. He was always kind of thinking about, how can I be respected? How can I be loved in the way that the Buddha is loved and respected? And so he was always kind of scheming, trying to come up with ways that he might take over the Sangha, and take over the role of leadership that the Buddha had. And so one day he gets an idea, and he approaches Ajatasattu, and he says to him, you know, if you were king, and then and you were my supporter, then you and I could have the same kind of respect and the same kind of enjoyment and reverence that the Buddha and King Bimbisara enjoy. So he kind of plants this seed into the Buddha's mind, and Devadatta kind of starts thinking about, oh, I don't know, do this. And then Devadatta brings one of the king's advisors to Devadatta and says, you know, this guy has an interesting story. I'd like to just listen to him. Let's hear what he says about why your finger is kind of crooked. He says, oh yeah, I've always wondered about that. And so this advisor says, oh, when you were little, your parents, they dropped you, and then your finger got injured, and they never told you about this. And so Ajatasattu, he heard this, they dropped me. How terrible of them. And he gets this idea, yeah, maybe Devadatta's right, maybe I should take over the Sangha. Maybe I should take over the kingdom. He should take over the Sangha. And so he gets a group of the guards together, and he convinces them to throw his father, King Bimbisara, into jail. So King Bimbisara is locked up in jail. And then Queen Vaidehi, when she finds out about it, she starts going to visit him. And she's smuggling food and drinks into him, in her jewelry and in her makeup. And she's sneaking food in. Now, Ajatasattu wasn't giving the king any food. And so he thought, oh, well, you know, he'll just waste away, and then I'll be the king. And so he's thinking, and he figures, oh, well, you know, it's been a couple weeks. Surely he's gone by now. And so he asks the guards, what happened to the king? And the guards say, oh, he's actually, you know, he's doing really well. The queen goes and visits him every day. And the Buddha also, he sends his disciples to go in to visit him, and we can't stop them. We can't stop the queen because she's the queen. We can't stop the Buddha's disciples because they have the marvelous ability to just appear in his cell to teach him. So the king, even though he's locked up, he's actually doing pretty well. And Ajatasattu then gets so mad that he grabs his mom and he pulls out his sword, and he's about to hit her with his sword when his two of his advisors say, don't do it. Don't do it. If you do this, we're going to quit. You're going to be all by yourself. You're going to have to try to run this kingdom by yourself. And we know you have no idea what you're doing because you just took over a couple weeks ago. And so Ajatasattu, then he realizes, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And so, but he's still mad at his mom. So he throws her in jail. So his parents, his mom and his dad, are both in jail. And so his mother then, at this point, she's all by herself. She's locked up in this little cell. She's isolated. You know, she's cut off from the usual people she meets every day, the usual activities and the places she goes. She's stuck by herself, and she's wondering, what can I do? So she calls in her mind. She calls to the Buddha and says, please send me your disciples. Please send me your disciple Ananda, who has come in the past to teach me the Dharma. Please send him to come and to be my guide. And the Buddha, hearing this, not only does he wish to send Ananda, but the Buddha himself appears before Vaidehi. And he is there to bring her comfort, right? So King Bimbisara and Vaidehi, they're locked up there. They're contained in these cells. They're cut off from the rest of the world. And yet they're able to experience peace of mind and freedom in the Buddha's teaching. Whereas Ajatasattu, he's free to go wherever he wants. He's never been more free in his life because he's the king now. So and he can go wherever he wants, but at the same time, he's not free in his heart. His heart is bound by his greed and his anger and his frustration. And so he's causing all this problem for his father, for his wife, and for the subjects of the realm, because he doesn't know how to be the king properly, right? And so by Vaidehi, then, she calls to the Buddha. The Buddha comes to her, and initially, she's so mad and so upset that she just begins complaining. She's like, this world is so terrible. My son is so terrible. How could I have such a terrible son? And your cousin, Devadatta, how could you even be related to such a wicked guy? Right? So she's mad at her son. She's complaining to the Buddha. She's complaining about the Buddha's cousin. And the Buddha, listening to this, he just listens calmly, calmly. And then he says, let me show you something that might help to bring you peace. He says, yes, yes, because I long for a world free from greed, anger, and ignorance. I long for a world free from fear and frustration. So the Buddha says, let me show you such a world. It's called the Pure Land of Amida Buddha. And he shows her this beautiful world. And he says, this is the possibility. He shows her the possibility of a life of peace and kindness. And then seeing that, she says, this is wonderful. And I'm able to hear this because of you, because I'm here with you. But what about those who will come later? How will they be able to receive this peace of mind when they're stuck and frustrated and in a difficult situation in their life? And so then the Buddha teaches her. He teaches her how to visualize this world. But he says, you know, there are going to be people in the world who are not able to sit quietly and meditate, who don't have the training, who don't have the concentration. And for those people, I offer the practice of saying the words Namo Amida Butsu. Because when you say these words, Namo Amida Butsu, wherever you are, whatever difficulty you're facing, in these words, Namo Amida Butsu, this whole world of peace and compassion opens up for you. And your life is clearly directed heading toward that world. And so Queen Vaidehi, she hears this teaching of the Buddha. She becomes a person who calls to mind Amida Buddha in this most difficult situation. She becomes a person who receives this teaching, Namo Amida Butsu, the Nembutsu, in her heart. And as she receives this teaching, then her life changes. Later, she is let out of jail, and the new king, Ajatasatru, the King Bimbisara, eventually does pass away in jail. And King Ajatasatru now is so regretful, he feels so badly about this, that he becomes more and more depressed, more and more frustrated, and he even becomes physically sick. And it's the response of Queen Vaidehi that shows us this transformation of the Nembutsu. Because, you know, many of us, I think, if, you know, someone did something like throw us in jail, throw our husband in jail, and then eventually lets us out, we would not have kindness for them in our hearts. But Queen Vaidehi, her heart has been transformed by the Buddha. So she has compassionate concern for Ajatasatru. She's the one who's there caring for him, taking care of him, nursing him in his illness. And so her heart has been transformed by the Buddha, so that from this heart of complaining and frustration and irritation, she becomes a person who has a heart of compassion, heart of wisdom, and a heart of caring for others, a heart of gratitude for this time that we have together. The founder of our Buddhist tradition is Shindan Shonin. We have his portrait hanging here just to the right of the Buddha image. And he treasured this story in his life. And he said that in this story, Ajatasatru is what he calls a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva is a being of compassion and wisdom who comes into this world to help others. And when I first read that, I thought, what do you mean he's a bodhisattva? He's such a bad guy. But Shinran says, it's because of the things that he does that the teaching of the Nembutsu was able to be provided for us. It's that he came into this world to do all these things in order to create these circumstances for us to hear the Nembutsu. So Shinran Shonin is able to look at this difficult, difficult situation and in it to see how the Buddha's wisdom and compassion blossom in that moment. Shinran Shonin learned to see the world in this way from his teacher Honen Shonin, who also had this kind of heart like Vaidehi, this vast, loving, compassionate heart of the Nembutsu. At one point, Honen Shonin was sent into exile. Many of the people who lived in Kyoto, where he lived at the time, the capital of Japan, didn't appreciate the Nembutsu teaching, didn't appreciate the fact that it was bringing everybody to the same level. The society at that time was very hierarchical. There were people at the top, and then right on down to a lot of people at the bottom. And Honen was saying, everybody in the eyes of the Buddha is equal. And not everybody appreciated that teaching. So Honen at one point was sent away from the capital to the island of Shikoku. And as he was departing, as he was going off, going into isolation, about to be separated from his family, or rather his friends, his family in the Sangha. He was a monk, so he wasn't married, but he had his family of other monks, the people who he was close to, all of his disciples, men and women, followers of the Nembutsu, and he was about to be separated away from them. And everyone was very frustrated, upset, and Honen said, you can't resent this. This was a decision made by the emperor, and we can't, don't hold a grudge. Don't be angry about this. The way I look at this is that I've been given a precious gift by the emperor, because the emperor is giving me the opportunity to go into the countryside. I've never been to Shikoku. I'm getting to go and to travel into the countryside and to share the Dharma. I've been so busy in the city, and now I get to go out and share the Dharma in the countryside. I'm so grateful for this. I heard a similar kind of sentiment from one of our Dharma school parents yesterday. We were talking, and this parent shared with me that the whole family is home all together on a Saturday. This person has children and the husband, the wife, and on a normal Saturday, everybody's off in different directions. You know, the one kid is going to soccer practice, the other kid is going to basketball. You know, they're not all home. They're all very busy. Kids these days are very busy with their weekend activities. And this parent was saying, I can't remember the last time that we were all home together all day on a Saturday. And so in the midst of all of the stress and the difficulty and the cancellation of all the usual activities, this parent was also able to see that, wow, what a precious opportunity for us to spend time together as a family, to take a little break from all of the busyness, right? And so I see in this the heart of somebody who hears the Nembutsu in the midst of adversity, able to feel appreciation for the moments and the opportunities that are presented by this life. Another one of our Dharma school parents, to me, also showed this heart of the Nembutsu. As we were sending out notices and information about, we're going to do service here, we're going to do an online service, we're canceling activities at the temple, schools are canceled, this person also has kids at home, Dharma school parent, you know, I'm sure they're thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to work from home, and now I got to take care of my kids at home, you know, one would think they might be stressed out. You know, how's the school going to go? But their first response when I sent out the notice about our adjustment to temple schedules was, you know, I know that we have many elderly temple members who are instructed by their doctors to stay home. They can't go out shopping. They can't go out to do things because, you know, there's the risk of getting infected. Is there something that I can do to help them? Even if it's just to call them up and talk to them on the phone or do a FaceTime or a Skype conversation. And so a person who we would think would have all this stress, this person's also caring for an elderly parent, all of this stress that they might be feeling about themselves, but their heart opens and they think about, oh, what about other people? What about the people who have even more challenges than I do? So to me, this is the heart of somebody who hears this Nembutsu teaching, whose life is transformed, and who, as we find that in a way, we're being pushed more and more into kind of isolation, social, it's called social distancing, putting distance physically between each other, but finding ways to also feel closeness, togetherness. We call this the treasure of the Sangha. We're trying, you know, in our way this morning, we're all coming together. Many of you are at home, in your own living rooms, in your own houses, looking on your laptops, your iPhones, or your iPads. But right here at this moment, 10:15 Sunday morning, we're here together. And so I hope that we can continue gathering in this way during this time of this coronavirus separation, and that when this is over, we'll have come closer and realize new ways of staying connected in the Nembutsu and in the Dharma, and really appreciate to be able to come back and be here together in the Hondo. The Hondo misses all of you. It's waiting for you to come back and to be here together. But for now, for all of our safety and the safety of our community, we're spending this time separated in this way, but together in the Nembutsu. So I'd like to conclude by once again reading these words of our pledge. Please join me in Gassho. Breaking out of my shell, I will share a warm smile and speak gentle words, just like the kind Buddha. Not becoming lost in my greed, anger, and ignorance, I shall think and act with an open mind. Just like the calm and peaceful Buddha, not putting myself first, I will share in the joy and sadness of others, just like the compassionate Buddha. Realizing the gift of life I have received, I shall strive to live each day to its fullest, like the Buddha who tirelessly works to liberate all. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namam Amida Butsu. Namam Amida Butsu. Namam Amida Butsu.